Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Caitlin.
Oh, my God. I can't even look at your face without cracking up. I'm so excited to talk to you. I've, seen you in passing. You've been harassing me about doing a podcast. I've been harassing you. But more importantly, the people have been asking for this.
The people have been harassing the both of us for a pod. And we apologize, everybody out there, but give us a break. We've been a little bit busy. Someone has been moving to Brooklyn out of the city, and I'm very upset about it, actually, to be quite honest with you, because now we're not three blocks apart. So her to come over to here, now she's got to get on two trains. And I've been a little busy.
No big deal.
Doing television and coaching. So, but here we are on a Monday after the US Open. I am well and truly hungover, and for good reason. And the fact that it was a bear of a 3 weeks of television,
yeah,
with the hours we were doing, we got caught in a flood. And 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. finishes back at the courts in the morning, coaching. And, of course, culminated for me yesterday in being a part of watching one of my best friends and my old doubles partner win another Grand Slam title in Sam Stosur.
That is an incredible 3 weeks. I mean, I remember having dinner with you both maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago, and I was thinking to myself, it has been a decade since Sam won her singles Grand Slam here, mm-hmm. and to watch her
and
run,
16 since her first ever Grand Slam title at the US Open in doubles with Lisa Raymond.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Culminating yesterday in a 3-set barn burner rematch.
Yeah,
they had an incredible tournament. I was so, I mean, I had tears in my eyes watching it. And I remember just texting you the minute by minute. You didn't respond one time, which, fair enough.
Which is a good thing, because that would mean I was actually doing my job and pretending that you didn't exist. And,
fair.
For at least a couple of hours.
Fair.
It was, I did have tears in my eyes after the match as well. I was just so pleasantly, overwhelmingly pleased for someone like Sam and Zhen Shuai, who hasn't been home all year because of, some issues with the CTA, Chinese Tennis Federation, and they wanted her to play in some Asian games. She wanted to play, the Grand Slams. Anyway, typical sort of random stuff from the Chinese Tennis Association. But so she hasn't been home all year. Sam hasn't been home now for 4 months. She's been talking to her now 14-month-old daughter on FaceTime every single day and night for those 4 months, to the point that Evie, her daughter, thinks that Mama is the phone. So whenever she sees the phone, she just says Mama. The good thing about all of that, talking to her on the phone, is that I would, preemptively jump into any conversation and say nay.
You're programming them early. As I've learned with my own son, you just got to get in there and
gotta
be
get in there.
The favorite aunt.
That's right.
Is the perfect role for you because you're a total maniac and you have good aunt energy.
She did wake up one morning and said, Nana.
No, and
nay,
so
nay.
You think that's you,
no,
or
she
was
said,
that a
nay,
banana?
Nay. She said, nay, nay. And so my life was complete when Evie woke up and said, nay, nay. And now, there you go. And now Sam wins the US Open. I'm just so pleased for us, Caitlin. I mean, she's been through so much over the last couple of years with so many injuries and the pandemic and not wanting to travel, and stayed home because of the pandemic last year. She was, you know, she's been contemplating retiring for a while, and now this has given her an impetus to say why not. She went to Cincinnati with Zhang Shuai. They weren't even supposed to play in the summer. Zhang Shuai was supposed to play with Nina Stojanovic, who played with Novak at the Olympics in mixed. Right. And because Zhang Shuai thought Sam was already playing with somebody else, and that wasn't the case. So Sam kind of called Shuai and was like, listen, I'm not playing with anyone else. Please, like, call Nina and just ask her, please. So thank you, Nina Stojanovic, who actually gracefully let Zhang Shuai play with Sam, and they are undefeated since coming back together.
That's insane. And yeah. Is this your first Grand Slam as a coach?
Yeah, it is mine.
Well done.
I hadn't thought about that. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Look at you.
Hopefully more to come.
So we'll add that to your total. I feel like that's fair. You got six...
Between six plus one coach.
Six plus one, yeah. Exactly.
The USTA is a really nice thing, actually. They give the winning coaches of the teams a small replica trophy. It just says, you know, doubles coach, winning of the doubles coach team.
Shout out, USTA. Well done.
Yeah, shout out to the USTA.
Wow. Well, anyway. I'd like to hear about your evening.
It's very, very... We went straight out of the courts. We had a little celebration in the courts. The USTA gives you some, you know, drinks and some charcuterie. And we sit around and all, you know, reminisce about the match. And then... We all went off to a Chinese restaurant in Queens.
Sure. Flushing,
as
I
you do.
Presume.
Flushing's, yeah. Flushing. I don't know where, what the name of the restaurant is. I apologize. But Zhang Shuai had set it all up. And so we went there and celebrated over a big Lazy Susan.
I have a feeling
Chinese food.
I can speak from some authority living in China that nobody does celebration meals like the Chinese do with the Lazy Susans. When I was living in China, they put the liquor bottle on the Lazy Susan and they would put a pack of cigarettes in front of each person at the table.
Wow.
I'm assuming that was not part of your
celebration. Well, there was no smoking.
But they just really enjoy a giant celebratory meal.
It was a lot of celebratory meal.
And having somebody like Zhang Shuai to order.
Yeah.
Just as like, you're like, just whatever you want.
She would pass around. We would say, too spicy? She's like, no, this is like Australian Chinese. You okay with this one?
Oh, because she knows. Yeah.
Yeah, so Zhang Shuai, who's could not be the... She's possibly the nicest person I've ever met. So again, I was super pleased for her. We had a nice meal. And then what?
Drinking.
And then we came back to the city, Sam and I, and the whole gang, and actually Sam and myself and Mel Almazolo, who's Sam's physio, and Dylan Olcott, and a bunch of us all ended
Dylan
up...
Dylan Olcott, legend.
Legend.
Wheelchair tennis, Golden Slam winner.
And De Groot as well.
Didi De Groot. I know, two Golden Slams this
year. Yeah, two Golden Slams.
All four majors, plus a gold medal. Incredible, incredible effort.
Amazing.
Yep. And is Dylan friends
with
you guys?
Of course. And actually,
he seems like a real good time Charlie. His Instagram is a must follow.
Dylan said when he came over, when he saw Sam, he's like, yeah, bloody awesome. What a great day for Australia. And he's like, you know, Daniel Ricciardo won the F1. When Daniel won the F1 race, I said to Sam, he just won. This is unbelievable. He hasn't won for years and years. And I said, this is a good omen for Australia today.
It is, yeah.
And it was. And then Dylan won. And Dylan said, yeah, not bad for a couple of kids from Northcote, because they both actually live in the same little city in Melbourne.
That's hilarious.
In Northcote. So Dylan and Sam both... They're not from there originally, now live there. So they had a little bit of a celebration.
And you said he was at the bar?
Yeah.
You guys found yourself?
Well, it's not far from the hotel that they're staying at. Uh-huh. I obviously live downtown, but I went up to the hotel area. So we walked to just a bar that Sam had gone to after her last victory in singles. She went to this bar called Snafu.
Oh, wow.
On, I think it's 47th and Lex. And it was just, you know, a bar you would never go to if you lived in New York.
I would never go to a bar in Midtown generally.
Ever.
But fun fact, I guess, is that if you want to catch a Grand Slam winner,
just hang around the bars in the
hotels where they're staying.
Near the hotels.
Probably run into one.
Probably.
Maybe two.
So we met up there and we had a few drinks there. So it wasn't such a late night, because, you know, the one thing you forget as a, you know, as a former player, you're very exhausted after you've won.
Sure.
You're tired. Yes, of course you want to celebrate and have a drink, but it is exhausting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great thing is Sam said, you know, I never got to do the little charcuterie and the celebration at the courts. She's like, when I won in 2011, I didn't get to do all of that.
Why?
Well, because they're getting pulled from pillar to post with press.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking, you know, our friend Carolyn Mano, who does work for CNN Sports. She was still at the courts waiting for Emma at 11-ish p.m.
Wow. Yeah.
And the match finished at 6:30 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can imagine from that moment,
hours and hours of press.
Hours and hours
and, also,
and hours of press.
If you look at this morning with the men, you know, Medvedev was on the morning program starting at 7, 8 a.m.
Pretty sure he wouldn't have slept.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal slog to get through press. I mean, it's great. It's a great moment, obviously. But yeah, to your point, you're tired. So you didn't tie one on completely.
No.
But in fact, you are, just to get the facts straight, hungover.
I am a little hungover, yeah.
Just, well, you deserve it. Yes, I'm very, very happy, and obviously was thrilled to see you you getting some well-deserved praise on the TV broadcast, not checking your phone, and you know, getting your first Grand Slam as a coach.
Yes, thank you. I didn't actually think about that at all until you said it, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Anyway, enough about me and enough about Sam.
We have so much to discuss.
Let's get into the tournament a little
bit. For my part, Racket did 12 things. We launched a TV show, we did a live event, we did 4 activations, 6 brand events, and pretty much everybody by yesterday felt like Daniil Medvedev did when he did the dead fish flop on
Classic.
The court. Just, oh my God, we are done. Should we start there? Should we start with the entire tournament? Should we start with the women's draw?
I think let's start with the fact that...
Our favorite matches? Where do you want to start?
Oh my
God. There's so many things to talk about.
So
and I made you shut up when I first got here so that we could tape it all. So I have no idea what you have been thinking about. And you're going to hear it here for the first time, everybody.
Yeah, first of all, I want to go back to qualifying and how effing hot it was that week. Okay, yeah. And so the fact
God,
that Emma got through 3 matches there in the heat... was able to get herself into the main draw for the first time. You know, she got a wild card at Wimbledon, so this was a way for her to get through the tournament. And then, you know, she in the main draw, you're always excited as a qualifier. Yes, you've just qualified for your main draw. And prior to the tournament started, her goal was to make the qualifying of Australian Open.
Wow.
That was her goal.
This is
okay?
nuts.
So when you think about what happened
3
weeks later,
it's
remarkable. But, you know, her walk, I mean, her journey through the tournament was unbelievable. I mean, she didn't have anywhere near the difficulty of draw that Leila Fernandez had.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just straight-out fact.
Yeah.
You look at the seedings.
Sarah Cerebres-Tormo, great player,
great
good
player,
season. Belinda Bencic, gold medalist. Yeah, but...
Belinda was probably the first time that she walked on the court thinking, okay, well, now we'll see where the test is.
Yeah. Maria Sakkari, you know, great players, but, you know, Leila Fernandez had 3 of the top 5 seeds.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom, boom.
I mean, Layla's run through the tournament, not only that, but even in her first round, she played a qualifier, but Anna Konyu, who was the number one qualifier.
Yeah, and Konyu's a great player.
She was the number one seed, and she actually, her ranking was 80 in the world as qualifying starter because she'd had such a good run-up to the US Open. So she really shouldn't have even been in qualies, but because of the cutoff, she was still in the qualies. So for her to beat someone like that had won 3 matches and then comes in and has played very well at the US Open, to beat her in the first round, that was already like, wow, okay, you know, and then subsequently her run through the tournament, beating the likes of Naomi and, I mean...
Arena Sabalenka
and Kerber. And
Kerber, all 3 setters, all just knockdown, drag-out fights. I do have to say, though, and tell me... You can feel free to call me an asshole. Because, again, she's Canadian. I'm pumped. She's a lefty. It's so hard not to get excited about her. Her run reminded me a lot about the way we watch Coco, where there's some great defensive play, some great fight, some great spirit. But the crowd helps a lot.
Yeah, they did. They
helped. Know? And I don't know that this girl doesn't lose 2-2 to all of those players that you just listed on any other day. And it's not to take a single thing away from her.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible effort as a Canadian, as a Montrealer, super, super proud. But just from a sheer tennis perspective, I looked at that final and said, oh, Emma's going to have a cakewalk just because her level is so much higher. You know what I mean?
Oh, and we've got a guest coming into the studio. Sam,
hello.
Come on up.
We've just had a Grand Slam winner.
Just had a multiple Grand Slam winner walk into the apartment, and we can just add her into our podcast live here at the Renee Stubbs apartment.
I don't know that that's how consent works.
Oh, really? Oh, well, we'll just coerce
her. Do you want to be on the podcast?
Do you want to be on our pod?
Guess what? It's happening.
Because that's what we're doing right now.
Yay!
Sam Stosur, ladies and gentlemen. She's brought me presents. She's brought me rackets, which are definitely going to be going to... Caitlin?
Oh, great. Well, they're going to be going to the Kings County Tennis League for the...
We might even turn the air conditioning on for you, Sam, because I know you're hot.
I don't know why I bothered having another shower.
No, probably not. It's very hot. Sam is going to go wash her hands.
Okay, so while we wait for Sam, what do you think about that? Is that an incredibly controversial thing to say? I don't mean it in a bad way. It's great. The new star is super, super pumped, but I also thought, well, this is a real evidence of crowd help.
Yeah, no question. And one of the things that I said in the final is it'll be interesting to see how the crowd cheer because they've been so for both of these young players.
It's so fun to go for an underdog.
And how do you root for someone who's younger than the one you're rooting for?
Right.
So you've got a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old. And so I was, but the crowd was actually a lot more favorable to Layla, even walking onto the court and through the match.
Yeah.
The noise level when.
No, I could hear it.
I was very interested in that when they walked on the court, and I thought, oh, okay, Layla's getting more support. And then throughout the match, Layla definitely got more support, clearly because she was losing as well.
Yeah, the crowd likes a long match. But I also think the New York crowd, and maybe you could...
Oh, I think it's Canadian as well. I think there's a lot of Canadians
who are down. Although, you know, the border hasn't been open very long, so I don't know how many Canadians have found their way down here. I'm one of the few.
I don't know. You should know.
I should know. I should have a counter and get the newsletter when a new one crosses the border. But I do think the crowd likes to feel its own influence. I think the crowd, especially in New York, especially boozy, likes to feel like they can control the match or at least be a factor. You said something really interesting in the middle. Andrea Pekovic, we were having a drink on her birthday a couple of nights ago. She was like, Renee's commentary tonight was exceptionally good because she said the crowd has just become factor. The third player has shown up to the court, which is the crowd.
Well, I actually said, if you know, you had been watching my commentary.
I was out drinking.
So I said, the best player at the US Open has now arrived, the crowd.
Yes.
And I said that influenced every single one of her matches, there's no question. And they almost brought her back in the final. If she'd broken serve there at 5-3, it would have been really interesting to see how she could have turned it around, because Emma really was starting to get a little bit tight, which is completely understandable.
Yeah. And a lot of people had a lot of negative stuff to say about that medical timeout. But I should note, Andy Roddick, who's been one of the best Twitter commentators tournament. I mean, he's great in any context, but he's been really active on Twitter.
Just so you know, in the background, Sam is taking out the leftover Greek food that I ordered and reheating it. But go ahead.
I mean, she's a Grand Slam champion.
She's also maybe slightly hungover, a little bit.
I feel worse after that cab ride than what I did.
Okay. She feels worse after the cab ride.
Andy Roddick was saying, look, I wish we had more people on the broadcast explaining what this meant, because when there is blood on the court, especially because an athlete, because of their heart rate and because of the fact that they're sweating, bleeds more than average.
Yeah.
If there's blood on the court, the play stops instantaneously and nothing can be done about it. It's not a medical timeout. It's not a player's option to say, hey, I need to get patched up. Play stops. It's like a heavyweight title boxing fight.
Yep.
The ref calls it. They patch the player up and the player's sent back on their way. Yep. So I just want to clear that up in case anybody was thinking that Layla was right in being angry about that. There's no, just like last year's default of Novak Djokovic, the rules are the rules. You hit a player, an ump, a ball kid, deef. Somebody's bleeding, you stop play, you patch them up, you move on. And I do think, you know, in that case, maybe Layla was going to come back. But the crowd didn't get into it because it didn't end up being an issue, right?
Well, I mean, in the end, Layla maybe didn't know the rule there. But, she absolutely needed to clearly get her leg taped up. I mean, you saw it actually, after even in the trophy presentation, it actually bled through the tape. So it was bleeding pretty profusely anyway. So I don't think that was not a factor, and I hope no one ever even remotely thinks that Emma would do anything like that, because she wouldn't.
No, I mean, listen, these kids are too inexperienced to work the system.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. They haven't learned a bit well. I don't know about that.
Junior tennis.
Sam is putting her finger up, because that is not true, because there are some players. Yastremska, Ostapenko. There's plenty of players that are in their teens that have done a little ropey-dope on the court. But I would not put Emma in that category.
Well, as Sloane Stephens famously says about, in her case, Yulia Putintseva, but I think it can be a theme of this tournament. If it's not one scam, it's another.
Exactly. And well, there was no scamming going on.
There was no scamming going on here. It does bring up something I want to address, which is, because I don't know how you feel about this. So much was made about... So little was made about Zverev's very credible, the accusations against him of domestic violence, though I was really happy to see that Mary Carrillo obviously made multiple references to it. ESPN finally brought it up when he made the semis, which was great to see. It's a part of the story.
Yep.
But instead of that being a theme, the toilet gate of Steph Tsitsipas became a theme.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, is that one scam or another? I don't know. It's within the rules. Is he getting coaching from his dad on the phone? No evidence that he is, but hard to imagine that that's not a possibility. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the bottom line is he's stretched every rule. And it's a rule that is he's allowed to go to the bathroom, you know, and there's no time limit on the bathroom stops. And that's just a problem with the tennis, you know, governments. They need to figure out something a little bit better, particularly on Arthur Ashe, where there's a toilet literally outside the door. So as soon as you leave the stadium, there's a toilet right there. So if you technically have to change your outfit or go to the bathroom, you should literally be taking 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk quickly or run off the court and run back on. And so him taking his bag, going to the locker room, I mean, that's taking 8-9 minutes is just bullshit.
Yeah, but do you think that it is?
I mean, is he taking his phone? Is he doing all that? I don't know. We don't have evidence of that, so I'm not going to accuse him of that. But I think the broader picture is tennis needs to do a better job, particularly for television. And I can tell you, my producer in my ear is like saying very unkind things, because he's like, what do we do now for 8 minutes of live television while you're like off in a bathroom? And then Patrick Mouratoglou says, well, he's going in there to basically find himself or whatever. I'm like, no, that's not the rule. The rule is you got to go to the toilet or you got to change your clothes. You don't go in there and have a meditation moment.
Wait, but what if he's pooping?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sam just shook her head, because that's just...
Do you know that he's not pooping?
There's just no chance.
Listen, I just moved to Brooklyn. We have two bathrooms now because everyone pooped.
And your son, who's like
seven? Oh my God,
seven?
He's pooping constantly.
Well,
he interrupted Andrea's match the other day. We were watching with Mary Carrillo, and I said, Peter, what do you think about this? How's it going? You know, isn't this so fun to see this match up close? And he said, I have to poop. Every time I've taken him to her match, he has to poop. Okay. And it takes 30 minutes. Anyway, my point is, it could happen. Okay. Question, bold suggestion.
Mm.
Should we
film?
Ban... Should we film in the toilets? No. Should we ban... bathroom breaks, but allow on-court coaching, so then people don't have to go to the bathroom to find themselves, or maybe limit the amount of time, so you just got to get it done really quick. But if you're trying to find yourself, maybe you just have a coach, which is way better than for TV.
Yes.
And such a great add for people who are watching tennis and wanting to understand more about what they're watching.
Television would love to interview the player that's still sitting out there for 8 minutes. They would love that. They've said that. It'd be great if we could interview the player now that's sitting out there by themselves for 8 minutes.
If this were Patrick Mouratoglou's Ultimate Tennis Showdown, they could.
What do you think of that?
I mean, that's ridiculous, because then that person's being disadvantaged twice.
Well, okay, from the nosebleeds.
You're going to make them stop and take away their concentration.
All right, so from the nosebleeds, but I understand why she's saying that. Or you have, if you want to leave the court, you have to be interviewed on the way back.
Oh,
how about
so
that,
it doesn't
Sam?
Take away your
so
advantage.
It stops even longer.
Well, no. So then
it goes from 8 minutes to
wait,
10
okay.
minutes.
What if you're the person who doesn't go to the bathroom gets to visit with their coach?
Yeah. So I think one thing that they could help is if they allow coaches to be able to, their player to walk over to their coach or their coach come on the court and just have a chat with them during that time.
Yeah.
And some may use it, some may not. Like some players, and there's been times where I've said no to coaching on the court. There's times where I want to go on the court. Uh-huh. There's times my player wants me out there. There's sometimes my player doesn't want me out there. So, but then you're leaving it up to the player or the coach to decide if they want to be able to do it. So it might help that they do that. But the blanket rule needs to change, and they need to have a specific amount of time depending on what court you're on.
And how far it is to the bathroom.
How far it is from the bathroom, and they can do that quite easily with a player saying, what is a specific time on this particular court that is reasonable?
Yeah.
And, you know, there is, what would you say, this, Sam, maybe a couple of outside courts that you need, maybe an extra minute or two to get to a bathroom, whereas at Arthur Ashe, it should be 3 minutes maximum.
Yeah, for sure. Outside courts, it does take longer because there's no toilets always nearby, for sure.
Yeah. So you could do that, though. The ATP could say, okay, if you're on court X to Y, you have... You can have 1 4-minute break, but that's maximum. And if you're not back, and here's the bottom line.
You get a penalty.
If you are not back in this accredited time, you will be deducted a point for every single minute you're late.
Fair. Yeah, that's great.
That's it. Every
I
minute.
Love rules.
And you boom. And I'm telling you, instead of these players walking to the bathroom, first of all, that's what pisses me off. I walking off, walking back on. I'm like, one of the things about Leila Fernandez that impressed me so much when she played Kerber, she lost the... one of the sets, the second set, and she ran off the court and ran back onto the court with her full kit. So she changed out of her entire gear in 2 minutes, but she ran off and ran back on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's how you change.
Well, it also sends a cool message to your opponent. Like, I'm still in this. Like, I don't think for 1 second I'm like, you know.
Going away.
Yeah. It's like when you're jumping around on the baseline after, you know, the point, like a long point. I feel like you send a message.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered Bathroom Gate. We've covered the women's draw. Do you, just going back really quick to the women, do you feel like Maria Sakkari and Aryna Sabalenka, house favorites? That's just brutal.
Yeah, that hurts. I think that I don't know who it hurts more.
I think Aryna
maybe
Sabalenka
because, you know, she went through that period of never getting past the quarters.
Yeah.
And now she's kind of stuck in the semis.
I feel like this was kind of her tournament. I adore her and the way she plays.
For sure.
Balls out tennis, too.
And again, the crowd factor was definitely a factor.
Yeah, I don't think she loses that match under almost any other circumstance.
Probably not anywhere else, but on Arthur Ashe.
A heavily frozen crowd.
Yeah.
And I felt for her. They were cheering for double faults, which to me, just it's absolutely abhorrent, the idea that you would ever cheer... for somebody's misfortune. Always, always, always applaud good play. That's, you know, just, and I mean that juniors to recreational to pros.
Yeah.
Just never find yourself applauding when something goes wrong for a player.
Yeah, it's funny
because... there's so many other options to cheer.
Because Sam is sitting here, it reminded me, yesterday there was a couple of double faults where the opponents double faulted and there was not a peep out of our box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a peep. That was not the case down the other end.
I remember.
And I'm going to put that out there, and you know, I don't know if any of the you know, the team or whatever, but if you bring people along, because sometimes it's the people behind you that you're bringing, that you've given tickets to, like, you got to be the person that stands. I would have stood out and said, "We don't, and I will not clap.
You don't applaud for a double fault.
It's just
ever.
Not okay.
Ever.
I think the only time you would ever do it ever is to maybe give your team match point, and then you reacted not like, yeah, we won the point. You would react like, okay, let's
good
go. Next point.
Good,
no, I would be talking about, okay, it's match point. Like, let's win the match point. But I would never applaud that. So I just put that out to every team out there.
No, that's just basic tennis etiquette.
You gotta
hate
not
when
do
I hear
that.
And
if the crowd does it, that's not your fault.
No, it's not. But it's also, you guys yesterday were playing a very pro-American crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an all-American team.
The crowd can do whatever they want. Yeah. They paid money to be there. They can cheer and scream, and whoever they want to win, they can, whatever. But your player's box and the people that you are... bringing into the stadium, you have to say that's not okay.
I'm glad we.
And that did not happen on our end, and because I would have been like, no, we don't. It's not acceptable.
I also feel like there's an Australian joy in competition that I was talking with somebody last night about Novak, because now we should talk about men.
Yep.
And the way that this person I was speaking to was an Eastern European who said that they related to Novak's emotion, his anger, his, you know, some of the more positive stuff.
He has a chip on his shoulder kind of attitude.
And you know, and I was sort of thinking about it, and I was like, man, tennis for me, you know, and granted it didn't go very far, but it's such a joyous thing that it's so hard to relate to players who play from a place of anger. That's just like from the bottom line, like, you know, it's so much more fun to watch a joyous run, which is why it was so fun to watch Emma Raducanu win.
Yeah.
She seems so...
Well, and Leila, both of them. I mean, even in the final, in that women's final, there were a couple of times where Emma would win a great point and Leila would smile.
Yeah.
You know, walking to the chair.
Yeah, because it's
I mean,
fun
it was
playing
so
a tennis
amazing
match,
to watch
match,
these kids.
Right.
Are you going to do laundry, Samantha? Okay.
Totally.
That's what happens. That's why she's coming here. It's do laundry.
You know, leftovers and...
The card is downstairs on my...
I
think it is.
listen, you're walking.
Look for the card. It might be in the pocket of my sweatpants on the bed, Sam.
I have to say, you know, I'm not a huge...
I would make Sam put my stuff, which is also in the laundry, in the dryer, but I'm afraid she'll, like, dry the stuff I don't want to dry, so...
Is she... No.
You are a good laundry girl. You are.
What, is she not...
I've got three buckets in there somewhere.
Is she not accomplished at laundry as much as she is at the tennis?
No, she's a very good laundry person.
Okay, great. Well...
But she doesn't know what I don't want dry.
Sure. She doesn't know. Okay, men's final. Novak. If there was going to be a turd in the punch bowl,
wow,
Daniil Medvedev
is the turd.
Yeah, I mean, I say that lovingly. I love this guy. We put him on the cover of issue number 13.
Your photo yesterday.
He was
with the middle finger up.
Well, he just had again crowd. The crowd was trying to be a factor, uh-huh, and he shut it down. Uh-huh. They were cheering his double faults at the end. They were trying to will Novak back into it. They finally decided after years and years that they liked him because they wanted to see history.
Did they want to see history, or did they want to see a better match?
Yeah, it could be either. Could be.
You know, I think it was probably along the lines of...
I don't know. We had some,
I think it was a combo.
We had a lot of people on the ground taking a lot of pictures of people in Serbian flags and face paint. And I think there was a very, very, very vocal, you know, pro Novak. But also, yeah, the crowd likes when matches go to five sets. The crowd likes when it appears to be a battle. You know, sometimes their partisanship can change even within the scope of a match. It would have been... It was nice, frankly, to see the crowd get behind Novak.
Yeah.
Kind of unequivocally.
Yeah.
I didn't like that sometimes it came at the expense of Danila Medvedev, only in the sense that they were applauding double faults and they were applauding errors there at the end.
So
it made sense
hope,
if he would have flipped a bird to them.
I do hope that the crowds, they won't, because this is kind of why we love New York, right? They don't give a fuck, right?
They do not give a fuck.
That they wouldn't be so parochial when things go wrong, yeah, like a double fault, yeah, or just a horrible miss or something, and they just... But, you know, it's what makes this tournament so special to win, because you do have to fight through a lot of adversity sometimes. Yeah. And a lot of it comes with having to fight against the crowd. And that's one of the things I said to Sam and Zhang Shui yesterday. I was like, look, the crowd's not going to be on your side. So you're going to have to really walk on the court knowing that you're going to be, it's going to be really loud and really parochial, and none of it's going to be for you except us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zhang Shui, I don't worry about Sam, because Sam has dealt with that. I mean, obviously that final against Serena was, you know, that was a memorable moment for her, not to get too carried away with the crowd being very procurely against her. But Zhang Shui is quite emotional, so she was affected a few times by it. But, you know, those are the factors that you have to factor in here at the US Open. And
it's not like that at other tournaments,
right?
No, it's
really not. The French Open can be.
Yeah, if it's a French player.
If you're playing someone French, it's not fun in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
And in England, they're a little bit more respectful, and same in Australia.
Yeah. They just seem so much more knowledgeable about tennis in those other places, and generally at tournaments like Indian Wells and Rome, that it feels like, you know, you'll get more of the kind of tennis fans that... we are, or I am, which is like, you're looking for a good match. You're, oh, well, this is one of my favorite players because I like their personality, you know, whereas...
Knowledgeable, as we would say.
I don't want to give myself that much credit, but yes, sure, knowledgeable.
Now, but let's... so we had, obviously... I think one of the great things about this tournament was, and we mentioned it a few times yesterday on ESPN, that we didn't have a couple of the biggest names. Obviously, Serena and Roger and Rafa and even Venus, and names that we've gotten so used to and loving having here at the US Open. But it was remarkable how remarkable this tournament was, even without those stories.
I think it was better.
And
I think it was better without those guys, to be honest.
Listen, to be honest, I want them there. I always want these guys there. They've given so much to this sport, and they've made this sport the level that it is now, the money that's there because of their names and the, you know, just everything about them. And even Naomi losing early. I mean, they transcend the sport. But what the great thing that this showed me, this tournament, is that in the end, like everybody always says, nobody is bigger than the sport.
Yeah.
And we saw that over the last 2 weeks. And we could never have predicted an 18 and 19-year-old in a final.
No.
A qualifier for the first time winning the tournament.
I think we could...
And can we talk about the fact that this girl had a panic attack at Wimbledon?
Yeah, no kidding.
And got ripped by people like dickhead Piers Morgan for being a quitter?
Yeah.
I mean... this happens to people.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that
I've had a panic attack once. I can't imagine having it on TV in front of millions of people.
Right?
It's one of the worst feelings. If you've never had one, it feels like you're going to die.
And
your heart is exploding out of your chest. It's
at
a terrible
18.
Feeling.
18. You think she's going to just recover like that?
No.
Well, hello.
The very next Grand Slam, she wins?
I mean,
come
I
on.
Just, it's a remarkable,
no, it's remarkable
story. Even Leila Fernandez. Listen, yeah. I saw that girl have such yips on her serve at the start of this year, actually playing a doubles match against Sam. I just thought, how does someone come back from that?
Yeah.
Because that is a mental... little chip that you have in there when you get the yips on your serve and the toss. And so to see the maturation of both of them over the last like 6 months, handle mental, those are mental sort of
Yeah, those are hurdles that...
Those are hurdles that are tough to get over.
Yeah.
To see them both be in the final and play the way they did in the final. They both played really well.
Well,
I think Layla could have played a little better, but overall it was quite a unique
And I think even looking at somebody like Carlos Alcaraz, who had a great run, won a tournament in Umag in Croatia with kind of like just tearing everybody and backing it up with a really strong run before he had to withdraw. You know, we had Brooksby Jensen. You know.
What the hell?
Riley Opelka getting in trouble for busting out a Friedrich Kunath issue number 9 cover painter unauthorized bag and getting a fine because he's got an art gallery on his sleeve. Like, it was cool. I think, frankly, to your point, I love those names. Obviously, they've given the sport the amplification and the platform that it has always deserved. But to me, tennis has always been about the traveling circus, the mishmash of people, styles, ages, nations, whatever, that travels week to week somewhere cool. And that is really what shone through. All these stories that would normally get overshadowed by, like, is it going to be the 20th slam for this guy? It's like, how many times do you want to see? Also, like, do you not think Serena's tired of the Grand Slam conversation? Like,
totally.
Enough already. And the fact that Novak didn't win, and instead we had Daniil Medvedev, who certainly earned his first Grand Slam. He came very close 2 years ago against Rafa over 5 sets in the final. You know, the fact that not one of those stories was what was the most important story at the end of the day was so satisfying to me as a tennis fan to say, yeah, tennis is and always has been about the broad diversity of different crazy people who play this sport. Mm-hmm. And what an amazing, from the 2 golden slams in the wheelchair with Didi DeGroote, Dylan Alcott, the doubles with, you know, Sam getting a decade between the last U.S. Open slam and now it's just
16 years between so the last doubles. I mean,
it's just so many cool storylines that, again, the oxygen wouldn't have been in the room to be able to explore these and really get excited about them. And I think what it showed, and I would like to know what the ratings are after when all is said and done, but I had people texting us telling us this is the most excited I've been to watch the U.S. Open in years. Sam appears to be pantsless with a towel around it. This is a real... I feel like we should turn this off.
I mean, I think you should take a photo of that and we'll put it on as our cover of this. Sam walking around in a Wimbledon towel because I'm fairly certain she's now washed her jeans that she
wore
down
here. Well,
at
least she has a shirt on, correct? I guess.
Or you just get the wax off them, so I've put them in the freezer.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway. TMI. But anyway, there were so many cool stories that could breathe because of this, and it just made me so excited for what tennis has to offer. And I think the broad consensus was... this is the best tournament that people have seen in years and years and years. And not just because of the outcome, not just because of the one or two stories, but because of the diversity of stories. You know what I mean?
I think the great thing is that we've just realized that tennis will always outlive all of us. And it's more important than any superstar. And the superstars are super important to the sport. But the sport will always outlast the superstars.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to also give a shout out before I forget, because we do love tennis so much. You got to give a shout out to Des Kravchuk, who won 3 Grand Slams in mixed this year.
Yes.
One with Jo Salisbury at the French.
Yes.
Then she won with Skupski at Wimbledon.
And then Salisbury
beating
again.
Salisbury in the final because he dumped her to play with a Brit at Wimbledon. And she lovingly took him back and said, all right, fine, I'll play with you at the US Open. And then they won it. And of course, Jo Salisbury, kudos to him because he became the first male to win the double and the mixed since Bob Bryan.
That's so cool.
So an amazing effort from Des.
Shout out to Des. And Des was an Arizona State alum?
Yeah, Arizona State. All 4 mixed doubles players were
college tennis players.
So
shout out to D1 college tennis.
Shout out to them. All 3 of them graduated. 1 didn't. I think Alvaro didn't. But great effort from Des and from Joe. And as I said, Sammy, do you want to just give any parting words to our...
Wait. Before she does, I want to shout out to Virginia Wade, with whom I enjoy, not an insignificant flirtation. Fun fact about me and Virginia Wade. It's pretty creepy, but it's true. She was on hand and was commenting with Emma's win now as being the second Brit since God knows when to win a women's singles title.
60s, gotta be.
Yeah, the last time Virginia Wade won the...
68
was when won the US Open. Mm-hmm. The last time it was played at Forest Hills, as a matter of fact. But now, so just, hey, Virginia, how you doing?
Well, And
Sam, come join us. Any parting thoughts? Any thoughts you have? Congratulations. I'm delighted we get to be the first people to pod with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, now you're like been on our pod 3 times. This is pretty... You can pull that chair up if you want there, Kevin.
Yeah. What struck you? Sam is pantsless, just, everyone.
I've got a towel around me. He's settled. just in general or what?
Yeah, just the overall, obviously the moment for you to win your...
Yeah, it was...
8th Grand Slam title?
Four doubles, 3 mixed, 1 singles. So yeah, to win a tournament 16 years later after winning it the first time is just amazing. It was actually quite an emotional feeling out there, and I know you were in tears, so that was fun to see. But yeah, I think we all were actually. But yeah, it was just came into this kind of US swing struggling for match wins, and playing with different partners, and as great as they were and had fun and everything else, we didn't click as well as what Shuai and I do. And we've obviously got a lot more matches together over previous years. So to just be able to get back together in Cincy and then carry that through and win 11 matches straight was just something I never would have thought would happen in the last 3 weeks. So going home very, very happy.
Can you tell me one funny, Sam always has these funny stories about what Shuai says to her on the court. Some can be repeated, some cannot. But was there anything yesterday where she said to you in the final, like something that was just, you just thought, oh my God, you're such a classic?
She was probably a bit more serious yesterday. I think, the moment and everything else, but we did try and always smile and, have fun and do all the things that we usually do. She didn't really say really funny things yesterday. There was one moment when she actually lost serve, in the second set, the only time she lost serve, and the crowd went bananas. And I mean, it wasn't, I don't know what, maybe half full, maybe, but on that court, it is so loud when they all get going, and that sound just bounces off everything. And she actually put her fingers up to her ears, like to close her ears, because
like
it
Bianca
was so loud. Did she?
Yeah. Yeah. 2019.
So it was like that. And she was just like, I could see that. That noise just was like she couldn't let that bother her and get to the, bother her play. So I thought that was really interesting because I've never seen her do that before, and that was obviously how then she was going to handle that moment and try and calm down and, all right, refocus and get on with it.
Was that her first slam?
No.
We won the Aussie together a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. And was there any sort of parallels to what today's or yesterday's match was like with that? Was it sort of like, okay, this is going three, we're playing against some hometown favorites.
Oh, yeah. Obviously very different being
guys,
in Australia.
Of course.
So we had the whole crowd and everything else, and that was, very different feeling to yesterday. And even, I know we were playing Americans and, everything else, but it was really one-sided cheering.
Yeah.
And I knew that going into it, but it still kind of surprised me how much.
Yeah.
But I think, that was a huge difference as far as playing, but it was just such a close match. It was like a few points here, a few points there, a couple of breaks, and that was it for the whole match. And we, played better in the bigger moments.
Yeah.
And
what did she tell
did
you
what
on
we
match
needed to
point
do.
When you were serving?
So the first one she called a kicker wide, and we did it. Actually played a good point, and I've never run for a lob as hard as what I did when Coco hit an amazing lob actually over Shuai's head, and I was just bolting. I was not going to not touch
that ball. She ran so fast, her hat came off.
Yeah. Didn't get it back in the court, but I was like, okay, I just had to give it everything. And then the second one, she just looked at me and said, "Your favourite. I know what it is."
Yeah.
And then ran up to the net, and then that was it.
That's
Hit my serve, and Coco missed it, and that was just a...
Boom,
incredible.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, that's a real testament to knowing how to be in high pressure situations with somebody familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, oh, we have a shorthand, we have each other's backs.
Yeah.
Even if the situation is a little adverse.
Oh, for sure. And that's, I think, our greatest strength is that we back each other, we trust each other, we, doesn't matter whether you make it or you miss it, it's on to the next point.
And sometimes I think it's interesting because in Cincinnati, you wanted to serve one thing and she told you to serve another.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday she said, you hit what you want to hit right now. So I think that's really important for doubles people to understand, or kids growing up or trying to get an established doubles partnership, is that sometimes you have to call your partner's serve because you can sort of see in their eyes that they don't really
direction.
Know.
Yeah.
And then there are some times where, and frankly, Sam had served a really good game. you leave it to them to experience and say, this is what I'm calling. Yeah. So that's really important. So I think that's important in that moment.
Yeah, and even first point of that game, actually, she told me where she wanted me to serve on the first point before I even said anything, and I changed it. I was like, no, I'm doing this instead. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like she likes to try and help, and she's obviously can being at the net, you can see where your opponent's maybe standing mm-hmm. or leaning towards more frequently or anything like that. So she tries to help me, I guess, making those decisions. But in that moment yesterday, I was like, no, I'm going to hit the serves I need to hit right now. And that's what we go with.
All right, last question. So Renee sort of alluded to this before, but I didn't get as satisfying of an anecdote out of her. So take me back to last night. I'm talking to two slightly hungover people. Snafu the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you drinking? At what point does Dylan Alcott come into the picture? Like, what? Just paint the picture for me.
Well, so we just had to go to Snafu because that's where we went after I won the singles title here. So I said, we just got to go there for one drink and then we can do whatever anyone wants. So we went there for one drink and ended up spending the whole night there.
As you know,
moving probably wasn't going to happen. And I reckon we were almost kind of good to kind of pack it up. And then this cab arrived and I was like, that's Steph from ESPN. And then she's come around and she's like, Dylan's in the car. And I'm like, what? How did you come here? Why did you come here? And they just came because it was the only place still open so late. So then Dylan rocked up and then all of a sudden we're like holding trophies and wearing gold medals and, you know, having another couple of drinks. So I went inside and ended up getting a shot. And I'm just like, what am I doing? This is not good.
That's a great
thing. Now I ran down the street and bought some pizza.
Oh, yeah. Forgot
actually,
about that.
Yeah, I bought $20 worth of pizza. I was like, how much can I get for this? And he's like, a whole one and four more. And I was like, give it all to me.
And they all got eaten pretty mm-hmm. much. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that. Went home at 2.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
Home at 2, well, sleep by 3. Didn't feel amazing this morning.
Well, that's fine though.
So there you go. US Open 2021.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done, both of you.
Well done.
I'm distinctly privileged to be in your company to record a podcast. So I better get this up right now. So our many, many fans have been harassing me. Somebody came up to me and said, are you Caitlin from the Racket podcast? And I was like, yes, expecting to get a compliment. He was like, why haven't you done one? And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, all right.
All right.
So I was like, all right,
so
I guess,
there you go.
Yeah, I didn't like sign any autographs, but I had to apologize a lot. So
not only did we do one for you the day after whilst being hungover, but we also added a 8-time Grand Slam champion and now third time on the pod. Third time?
Second.
No, third.
Third.
Third. She was our guest host
in
Indian Wells prior to the Pandy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
When the Pandy hit, short for pandemic, the Pandy hit, you were
I've been a host more than a guest.
Yes, you have.
All right, on that note.
On that note.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Sam. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for being patient with us. I promise you, we're going to be having more and more. Depends on Caitlin.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And that's it for this episode of the Racket Magazine podcast. Thanks for listening. Our host is Renee Stubbs. Our co-host and producer is me, Caitlin Thompson. Music by internationally renowned DJ Stretch Armstrong. Thanks to Tim Ruggieri and the team at Acast. Find us at racketmag.com/podcast and subscribe to us at any of your favorite podcatchers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.